The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right. Usually, we have a hard time getting one podcast in good time, but it's very rare that we get two podcasts done in a week. But I felt a little bad that I didn't give Jake Middleton a heads up that Austin and I were going to record on Monday. So I decided, hey, let's get you on this week. And you're just like, yeah, let's do it tonight. And I'm glad you did, because we still got some stuff to talk about. I know that this is the lighter time in sports and there's not much to talk about, but there are some things I wanted to ask you, especially Jake. I know we haven't talked, we haven't done a podcast with you since the Kawhi Leonard decision, and you just watched a commercial that might have spurred some feelings, maybe?
A little bit.
So, just a little bit?
A little bit.
So, you've had a couple of weeks, Jake, to digest the news, and we all know that it's no secret that everyone wanted Kawhi to stay with the Raptors. Everyone in Toronto. Nobody in the States wanted to stay with the Raptors.
No.
Now that you've had time to digest the news, what is your thought of how it all went down and what's kind of come out afterwards?
From the second it happened, through the whole process, I was terrified that he was going to go to the Lakers. I mean, the thing about it, what that's interesting about the, at least the American media, is they like were pushing it so much for the Lakers since like a free agency started. They were trying to speak into existence, and I was just starting to get pretty afraid. Like, a lot of people were saying it, obviously not reputable people, of course. Like, you had Chris Broussard, who's like, he's done. He's going to be a Laker. And I think my favorite part of him not signing with the Lakers was just seeing all the frauds get exposed. Like, that little teenager, what's his name, R.E. Abraham, and Chris Broussard, and all those clowns, and just being like,
that he doubled down, though. He's like, to my haters. He wasn't just like, I didn't know a thing.
Yeah, they're just clowns.
Like, I've said it in our chat before. Like, you have to appreciate somebody just being
that stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. Just knowing that you're just going into the fire and you're gonna do it anyway.
And then you got like the Lakers who are listening to fucking people on Reddit. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Guys on Reddit, like, yeah, I have deep sources inside the Lakers ownership group. It's like, shut the fuck up. You wouldn't be on fucking Reddit under an alias if you had such good sources.
You'd be challenging Woj and Shams.
But, I mean, it just goes to prove that there was nothing the Raptors could do. I mean, that's that's the thing that, you know, it wasn't annoying because in the end he didn't choose the Lakers, which I'm way happier with. But it just, it proves there was no way the Raptors were going to keep him, and that's what we kind of felt from the beginning, and this pretty much confirmed it. And it, I guess it just proved that, you know, geography was the only thing that really mattered to him. Because it couldn't have been about winning, and it couldn't have been about money, because he turned down, took less money, and he turned down a better chance of winning. But, I mean, the thing that kind of grinds my gears the most is it's about how they, like, went about getting Paul George. How he basically went out to him, met with him when he was under contract, and told him to get traded. Like, I don't like that. I mean, I've been on record saying that the NBA is a joke. Like, I got a lot of respect for Adam Silver. I just think he gets absolutely run over by the players. He makes every single concession, and they just have so much power. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, as a Raptors, you can't, as a Raptors fan, you can't really be mad at the guy because, you know, he's taken so much money. He's sacrificed so much money to go home where he's always wanted to be. And, I mean, you know, this is a guy that's had a rough upbringing, and I can't blame him for wanting to go home. You know, he never wanted to be here, but he never complained about it. He never gave any instance that, you know, he was upset about it, and he gave everything he had, and they won a championship. So, thanks to him. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to what they'll be in the next couple of years, and hopefully they can build on this and actually get a superstar that wants to be here.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I mean, Raptors fans need to realize that is you want a guy that wants to be here, and that, I mean, look, Kawhi brought, you know, they won a championship. He was fully on board with that, but he was not on board with a long-term idea of staying here. We knew that. The Raptors could have done all they could to try to convince him, but you could see he had the clear mindset of wanting to go back to LA.
I'm also very happy that they didn't go ahead and do that stupid trade that was proposed, I still don't believe would have ever happened. Like Russell Westbrook and Paul George for giving up that much picks. And then in the end, his contract is only a 2-year deal. Oh my God. Like, think about the pressure that's on the Clippers. They gave up, what, 7 first-round picks? They gave up 7 first-round picks and 2 pretty good players.
Because technically they did the pick swap, so that's like...
Which if they lose Kawhi Leonard, you know they're swapping those picks. So, I mean, that's just so much pressure.
Yeah. I mean, OKC did really well in this. Like,
oh, they made out like bandits.
Well, in both deals too, I feel.
Yeah, I think they did really well in the. Well, I didn't. I thought they kind of lost the Chris Paul deal. They got what, 2 first round picks out of it?
That, yeah, they got 2 first rounders.
I mean, they're gonna probably have to trade a first rounder, a couple first rounders, to get rid of Chris Paul. But I mean,
why not agree to buy him out, maybe?
No, dude, he's got like $120 million left.
Is it that much? Wow.
Yeah, why would you... I've had this question for so long. Because Stephen A. Smith, who was on, I think it was Around the Horn or something, pardon the interruption, was saying that they would buy out him, his like $120 million, so he can sign a veterans deal with the Lakers. Like, what?
No.
I'm paying you $100 million so you can go play for the Lakers.
Yeah, he has...
No fucking way.
So you're right. He has roughly, if I'm doing the math correctly, which I'm probably not... Oh, no, I probably... Around $120 million left.
Yeah, you're not buying out a guy so he can play on a veterans minimum deal. Unless he's foregoing, I would say I'll buy you out if you agree... to take 40% of your contract.
Yeah, that's... It's a tough one. I mean, these guys make so much money, and people don't realize how much of a gamble teams make just to get these deals done. Like, that's a lot of money, and if it doesn't work out, you're pretty much stuck with that contract.
I mean, the Lakers and Clippers, they basically have – they banked their next 10 years on these next 2 years.
Yeah.
If they don't make the finals, right now I'm praying for Houston, Golden State, Utah, and Denver just to beat any of those L.A. teams, because I would love to see this backfire, because I'm getting sick and tired – of these fucking massive markets just doing everything and getting all these players just calling the shots. Like, it's really annoying to me.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy the Knicks not having players, though.
Yeah, but I mean...
that's a different reason.
It'd be cool to see the Knicks with good players, but it's also kind of like it's an annual spectacle now.
I mean, the biggest issue with the Knicks, in my opinion, is they've never truly embraced rebuilding, and I'm hoping that this is the thing for them, but... after seeing some of the money they got that they spent, they actually got a couple really good players, but I think they're just going to get a 7 seed or something and get smoked in the first round.
Yeah.
Right, you're more optimistic than a lot of other Knicks fans.
They got some good players. They got, like, Marcus Morris. They got Reggie Bullock. They got Julius Randle, who's a good player. They got some good players, but, I mean, they're not going to have 15 wins or whatever they had. They'll have around, like, between 30 and 45.
Who was it? Oh, yeah. Didn't Marcus Morris fire Rich Paul?
Yeah, he did. So did you see that?
Who was the other guy?
He turned down a $41 million deal. He made him turn down a $41 million deal with the Clippers.
So he can sign with the Knicks.
Well, no, he agreed to sign with the Spurs for 2 years, $20
million. Okay.
And then he obviously very smartly turned that down to get a 1 year, $15 million deal from the Knicks. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I hate Rich Paul. I hate Clutch Sports. I think it's a fucking joke that they have a player agency representing players that is owned by a current player. Like, you know what's happening. He uses him as a mouthpiece, as a puppet, to move all these players to his team. It's a joke. Like, this is my issue with Adam Silver. Like, how are you this fucking naive? Like, you probably went to Harvard Business School or something, and you don't think this guy, this moron, who's never even went to fucking college, isn't just stringing these players trying to get them on the Lakers? I think, like, four of his clients are on the Lakers.
Yeah,
because
AD's a Rich Paul client, right?
AD, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, either Rajon Rondo is or Jared Dudley, one of those guys is. I know he's Ben Simmons' agent. He's the Morris twins' agent, too. I'm not sure his entire portfolio. Yeah, it was. Thank God he fired him, like, such a dickhead. But, I mean, I hate that guy, so.
Yeah. It's just the way the landscape of the NBA is. It's, there's not much else to say. That Austin and I went into depth about. We were of the mindset that, you know, the Raptors might not be as bad as people suggest.
No, they'll be like a 5 seed.
I mean, like, to me, the commissioner's trying to be like the cool person that, like, all the players like. Absolutely.
100%.
But he gets
run over every single thing. They're like, oh, the term owner is offensive. He's like, well, now we're going to call it shareholder. Like, really? I mean, this makes me think that when the CBA expires, that the owners are just the shareholders are just going to run them over. I think they run them over in the next CBA negotiation.
Yeah. Well, all I'll say is the NBA, while it might be the more popular league right now, could be in for some testy times, especially when the CBA comes up. So
I would be shocked if they're not locked up. I mean, players are doing all this and they're still bitching about it.
Yeah, well, they will understand very soon. I fully believe that. So let's move on, though, because I do want the last podcast, Austin and I got kind of rushed, and we didn't get a chance to talk a lot of Blue Jays. The only thing we
I talked mostly William Nylander and how people need to shut up.
We're gonna get that to that in a second because I
want
to do.
We don't need to. You don't want to.
We have to, but I want to do the Blue Jays stuff first because I did say we wanted to do more Blue Jays stuff. Jake, I mean, we all know Marcus Stroman's getting traded.
Correct.
At what point do you think the Blue Jays by what date would you say the Blue Jays have to have a deal done by?
Trade deadline day. That's when I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When has this team ever done stuff when you actually want them to? Also, it wouldn't really make sense. It's kind of like a leverage play. Uh-huh. A lot of the good. It's actually broke very well for the Blue Jays. If you notice the standings the past couple weeks, teams that have had slightly higher targets, guys like Trevor Bauer and Brad Hinn on Cleveland, Cleveland's won like 10 of the last 12 or something like that. They are leading the wild card again, I believe. And, I mean, that takes them off. Hopefully it takes them off the market. Then you look at the San Francisco Giants, who have two other really similar pieces to the Blue Jays in Will Smith, the closer, and Madison Bumgarner. They've won like 15 of 16. And now they're three back of the wild card because the wild card right now is a disaster. I think you have, if you're 500, you're in the wild card race for out west. But I mean, that would be great if both of those teams decided not to sell. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think the Blue, knowing that he is out there like that, Stroman will likely get traded. Will definitely help. I think. I mean, you're looking at. Even tonight, you look at teams that could use a starter like him. I mean, San Diego's getting pumped 11-4 by Miami. Milwaukee and Atlanta, like, those are two teams that are battling out for a division. And Atlanta's...
I think Atlanta ran away with it. I think Philly, you mean?
Yes, Philly. Sorry. Well, I mean, Philly, just the last 2 days alone, I think. Eek.
Philly can't pitch.
So... And I doubt, with the way the things have gone the last few years, I doubt the Phillies are even going to try to add to this group. Like, this group is...
They really shouldn't.
I would, like, just kind of take a step back and be like, yeah, let's not throw gasoline on this fire right now. Because I feel like that would make it worse. But, like, you look at... I'm just trying to look at the... Atlanta has a... 7.5 game lead on their division, which puts them in a pretty good spot. The Cubs have been they're a little bit of a surprising team in that I don't expect them to be in on Stroman because I don't think they have the prospects to make it work. But you wonder if a team like Atlanta would be good because they're a team that should. Push to contend this season. Milwaukee is a team that's a half game out of the wild card, so there could be some pressure there to get something done. Because I feel like a team like Washington and St. Louis might not be able to keep their spot where they are right now.
I think Washington can because they have the pitching, the starting pitching.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm rooting for Washington now. Ever since they decided to tell Bryce Harper to go fuck himself, I'm fully on the side with them. Well, I can't stand that guy. In my opinion, the most overrated athlete in sports.
Ooh. That's
The guy hits what, like 235? He had one unbelievable year, and people think that he's like the next Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez. Like, give me a break. The guy's so full of himself, too.
And the next thing I wanted to bring up, and I think that's a fair point. I haven't been a big Bryce Harper fan either. I thought it was a little ridiculous, his whole free agency stuff. But I look at the AL. I feel like only one or two teams would go after Stroman in the AL, while most of the suitors will be in the NL.
I mean, for me, if I had to break down all the teams that I think would possibly trade for Stroman, I got every division leader in the AL. So that's the Houston Astros, the Yankees, the Twins. I think Oakland too, so that's four. I think the Angels, but I don't know if they have the prospects for it.
I don't think they do. And they're four and a half games.
Then, yeah, they're, I don't know, they're a weird team. I'm rooting for them after that Tyler Skaggs thing, but they just, their pitching is so bad. And then when you look out in the NL, I think you got Atlanta. I think St. Louis is in it. I think Philadelphia wants to be, but they shouldn't be. Milwaukee for sure. San Diego and Colorado. If Colorado can at least somewhat turn around, they've been on a horrible run lately.
Austin, if you had to choose a team that the Blue Jays should make a deal with, who would you be your preference, or do you not have a preference?
I mean, for me, it's always the Yankees, but that's just because they always buy pitching at the deadline, and they always generally spend a decent amount of prospect capital in order to win championships, and a guy like Stroman would get a decent haul, assuming he's still pitching well when we're talking this time at the end of the month. I would go with him, but you guys have talked me into another team a little bit, so I'd go Yankees, but I could be persuaded otherwise.
Jake, who would be your team?
Yeah, so for me, it's interesting. I would personally trade them together as a package deal now, especially because I think you'd be able to get, you know, the elite prospect that you need, especially a pitching prospect. The Yankees are up there. I think the Astros are up there. But for me, the team that makes the most sense is Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's kind of on a high this year where a lot of things have gone their way. They've had, you know, two really elite seasons from starting pitchers. Their bullpen is somehow papered through the cracks. They're hitting, I think they have the most home runs in the entire league. But this kind of seems like it's wide open for them to win their division. And if they were to add a closer like Giles and a guy like Stroman, I think it would really help them. And they also have a really good farm system, considering they were bad for a while. I think it just makes sense. They have, in my opinion, five guys who would be perfect for them. I think the top two guys are apparently untouchable. But the other three guys, I think it's Brusdar Gatterall, the pitching prospect.
All right,
Jordan Balovich and Trevor Larnach. They're guys that are kind of, you know, obviously Gatterall's in Double A, and then you had Balovich and Larnach are in high A ball. They just got drafted, but one's an outfielder, one's a right-handed pitcher. They both were in the Futures game, and apparently they looked really good. So those are two guys that I would. Those are the three guys I'd be looking at to try and get a piece of, because they are fit needs for the Blue Jays. They need outfielders and they need pitching.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we always say how positionally the Blue Jays are pretty set, but I think they could still use an outfielder, but I'd still say pitching is their number one priority. So, looking at the Twins, Jake, you're right. They're first in the MLB with 171 home runs, second in league average, .71 batting average. Second in runs with 5.23. I remember the Blue Jays were kind of like that. And they're fourth in ERA with a 3.92 team ERA. So they're a team that, it's not a fluke what they're doing. Like they got the stat. It's not like they're fluking this. Maybe there's questions about sustainability, but if you had a guy like Stroman with a year of control, why not? Like, that's a team that, you know, I felt like has had a bad couple of seasons, and it took. And I mean, they also had the Cleveland, you know, when they were a pretty good team. I mean, Cleveland's still half decent, but they're not like they used to be. But there's a couple of reasons why. So yeah, I like that prospect about the Indians. About the Twins. I've also suggested that San Diego would be a neat place. I think Stroman would love it there. because you're in California.
And a pitcher's park, too, big time.
Pitcher's park. They've got decent prospects. So, you mean Luis Patino. I wrote about this. Michael Baez, Ryan Weathers.
Wine Weathers,
Weathers.
Yeah.
I mean, they have even better prospects than that, but I don't think, unless they do, like a, as you said, a package deal. This is the thing, though. You brought up the idea of the package deal. I don't know if the Blue Jays would be interested in doing that, because the Blue Jays never like going after just the one prospect.
Which at this point it pisses me off. You can't do this bullshit where you're trying to get quantity.
Yeah.
You're trying to get quality. I mean, it like if you're trying to get, you know, Gratterall from Minnesota, that guy's, I think he's one of the top five pitching prospects in baseball or something like that. I mean, he's in Double A and he's got like a 190 ERA. The guy's just crushing it. And I mean, that's a guy who is projected to be like a number two starter, a guy like a Marcus Stroman. I'm getting sick and tired of them just getting five pieces that turn out to be nothing. I mean, at some point you got to stop. At some point you got to stop taking lottery tickets, because winning the lottery is not a way to be successful.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, the Blue Jays, I mean, we look at the trades that have gone the other way for the Blue Jays in the past. You know, when they were buying, and you look at guys they've shipped out, you have the Noah Syndergaards.
The only ones that have actually come out to be good players is Noah Syndergaard and funny enough, Matthew Boyd, who's probably going to be traded again by Detroit. Yeah. I mean,
and then you have just guys that are holding down roster spots, like Travis d'Arnaud, who was supposed to be good, but now.
I mean, he hit a hat trick against the Yankees.
Yeah,
not a bad player. He's just not like a Noah Syndergaard superstar like he was billed to be.
No, and I feel like there was injury issues when he was with the Mets.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the Mets are just a tire fire of an organization right now. So, but. Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays have made their fair share of deals that may not have gone the way they had wanted to, but I think now, you know, now that they're on the other end of it, they really need to sell this properly, because you look at what they have, the exciting pieces on the roster to attract the fans. Just the pitching isn't there. I mean, there's maybe a lack of consistency in the lineup. I mean, right now,
their team scores 8 runs last night. They give up 10.
Yeah, and Edwin Jackson was arguably their best pitcher last night. Not forget that one.
11 ERA before they DFA'd him. He was with us for 2 months.
I can't believe it was that low. I thought it was like 50s.
He got battered every single time he pitched.
I mean, I'm going to bring this up. This is what we talked about, the twin stats and what made them so good. Blue Jays run scored 405, that's 25th in the league. Home runs, 135, 16th in the league. Right now the Blue Jays don't have many home run hitters.
That's pretty good for a team that lost Batista and JD and Edwin. I'll take 16th with this team.
So Jake, out of the two stats, so average they're hitting .232, which is 30th in the league. Where do you think the team ranks in ERA?
Ooh, the Blue Jays?
Yeah. Where would you rank them?
I think they might be third last.
You'd be surprised. Let's not forget Marcus Stroman factors into this, right?
Yeah, okay. Fifth last.
They're 23rd in the league.
How?
So I got to look at who's below them. Because I found that surprising when I looked it up.
I know Baltimore is, like, uncatchable. They are, like, average, allowing, like, 6 runs a game.
And the guy they traded to the Red Sox got lit up by the Blue Jays tonight.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, he got lit up.
That's what you get for buying a pitcher from the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
I mean, I
can't stand Boston.
I think the only guy you could probably take a waiver on from that team is Dylan Bundy and just hope he's somewhat decent like he was a couple years ago.
Even then, he's a gas can too. I'm so happy that we are not them. We are not them.
Yeah, we're not those guys.
Are 28-65.
People complain about Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, and I'm sorry. When you have what's going on with the Orioles, no, I'm good with what we've got going on right now.
They, like, the Orioles right now have no players on their roster that I have any faith in going for. I don't even know any of their players.
They took Dwight Smith Jr. off. What, yeah. Levers was it? And he's an everyday starter. He was a AAA, like, occasional call-up for us, and we're, what, two places above them in the standings? Like, it's a steep drop-off.
So, Jake, just to give you a quicker, so the Blue Jays are 23rd in ERA, team ERA. The Pirates are 24th. The Royals are 25th, and that's going to probably get worse now. The Tigers are 26th. The White Sox are 27th. The Mariners are 28th. The Rockies are 29th, and the Orioles are
dead. Rockies lost like 20-2 to the fucking Giants.
Giants, yeah, that's bad. It's pretty bad. No way to sugarcoat that. So, and you look at the top five teams in the league in Team ERA. You got the Rays, the Dodgers, the Reds, the Twins, and the Indians.
The Reds, wow.
Surprised about that, actually. They're one of the teams that really wanted Stroman.
They have a pretty good system, but it would make zero sense for them.
Oh, yeah. The Red Sox are a team that I kind of find amusing. They're the best run-scoring team in the league. Minus the home runs. I'm surprised. A team that has 533 runs, and they're 12th in home run in home runs with 138. Like, they're only hitting 7 more than the Blue Jays, and yet they're the top run-scoring team in the league. They're a team that I wonder, could the Blue Jays... I mean, I don't want to see Stroman in the same division, because I think, Austin, you're right on the Yankees maybe not willing to part with what you'd want, because we saw that with Jay Happ. I mean, the Blue Jays didn't exactly get a haul for him.
I think that's also just Jay Happ's age, as well as the Jays trying to bargain shop and get a bunch of bodies that could turn into something.
That's true. But I wonder if the Reds...
He was, what, 34 when he got traded, Jay Happ? And he's getting... I mean, he did well last season. He did phenomenally well last season, but he's getting lit up this year with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 36 this year, so...
So... That's why you got so little for him. And I mean, at the time, honestly, you take a waiver on Drury and McKinney, and they were two guys that plugged into your roster right away. Sure.
They were just low upside players.
Yeah. You were hoping to hit a home run with a guy you got for cheap, but you don't give up a top of the rotation guy for those pieces. Especially Drury, because he wasn't healthy.
I didn't mind them trading for Brandon Drury, because I thought he was actually pretty decent when he was in Arizona, but I would have preferred them going after like a high upside 17 or 18 year old international signing over that, but it doesn't really matter.
So who else on the Blue Jays would you want to see moved? I know we talked about this, Jake, but who would you want to see moved other than Stroman and Giles?
To be honest, if I could keep guys, I would. I mean, I really like Freddie Galvis, personally. I think he's a really good fit, but him, Daniel Hudson, Justin Smoke's got to be traded. I think it's those five guys.
All right.
Yeah, I think, and I wanted to get to the Bichette comments, because really that's what's keeping him out of, like, having Sogard, Galvis.
Smoke. Oh yeah, Sogard too. Sadly, I like Sogard.
I like these guys, but they're not long term. Like, you're not. You got a benefit. You got these guys all came to the. I mean, Galvis was traded for, but Sogard came to the Blue Jays because he knew that he'll get the playing time, and then get traded to a contender most likely. But this is what
they have to do, especially in this, oh my goodness, Here, sorry, pause this. Speaking of the Phillies, they're up fucking 6-5 on the Dodgers, and they give up a leadoff single, then a double, so men on second and third. They luckily get a force out at home, so there's men on first and second, and they just served up a fucking pizza. Writer's pizza, a meatball right down the middle to a fucking rookie, and he hit it like 700 feet.
Oh my god.
Man, this team's so fucking bad. This bullpen might be worse than ours.
I'm sorry, and the best part about that, Jake, is Beedy was a pinch hitter.
Yeah, he was. Did you see where that ball landed?
Yeah, I saw that.
That ball was hit a million miles. Let's see, they have the Statcast. Yo, that thing's like 425. Holy Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, and they threw at him right after.
This team is such a tar fire.
They're horrible. Sorry. Back to where we were.
No, so, I mean, yeah, you were right, Jake, in that. I mean, look, I look at a guy like Eric Sogard, the Blue Jays have been looking for a leadoff hitter for so long, and he's been probably the best leadoff hitter the Blue Jays have had this season. And
he's been so good. He's hitting like over 300.
I mean, he started late, so it's not like he's been here all year, but yeah. And he's been playing around the lineup, even though I know he's not a natural outfielder, but he's been good enough that you can throw him there if you have to play Biggio at second. Yeah, I liked what he brings. I mean, yeah, he's hitting 302, 10 home runs, 27 RBI.
The thing with me is I actually think if they do like a couple packages, they can get some pretty good prospects. But at this point, I wouldn't even trade these guys unless you're getting like a top 10 prospect or a high upside lottery pick or lottery prospect. Because at this point, just keep them. Like I think these guys are having good influences on the team.
Yeah, Galvis is really good for that.
Galvis has been, I think he's been incredible this year. He's hitting like 275. I think he's a Gold Glove defender, and he's had a pretty good year offensively. He's got like 15 homers, 46 RBIs. He's hitting like 275. He's not bad, especially because he allows the Jays to buy time for their prospect not to be rushed up. I mean, I'd much rather have them like guys like Bo Bichette, who are just like, damn, he's hitting over 300 in AAA and he should be coming up, instead of them forcing these guys up.
So the couple of things I want to bring up there. One, the thing I love about Galvis the most is I remember when a lot of the Blue Jays media people were, not media people, I would say like some reports like, oh, they're going to miss Kendrys Morales and his mentorship with the Spanish, like the guy, you know, all the Spanish-speaking players, and Galvis is pretty much taking up that role. And not only is he cheaper, but he's actually effective.
And he actually runs past second when the ball is hit past. Or no, he runs to second when the ball is hit off the wall.
Yeah, I like if Galvis is a guy that can move around the lineup, you can play him at short, at second. I think Vlad's long-term future is at first base. I know some people might disagree and they want to see him at third, but I'd rather him worry. His value is at the plate. I don't want...
There's a lot of middle infielders that could, like, shortstops, Groshans, Warmoth. Oh, maybe not Warmoth, but well, there's a couple of guys that you could shift to third and it wouldn't be an issue.
There's one guy that deserves to be up with the Blue Jays, and he's starting to get frustrated. I don't know if you guys saw the Bichette comments tonight.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I don't like it because, look, he's 20 years old, 21.
But yeah, it's completely because of the Blue Jays' lack of communication from their GMs. I mean, it's absurd. He should be up, but, I mean, like, relax.
He's like, I've done everything they've asked me to do.
Well, and the thing is, they've said he's gonna get called up.
It's not like they say we're gonna wait and see. No, they're gonna call him up. It's just, look, do you want to be up in the major leagues and sitting on the bench regularly, or do you want to be playing? That's the main difference. I don't know if it's just It's a little impatience. I understand that part. He's a young guy. You know, he's seeing, you know, Biggio.
All his friends are up.
I get that part, but this is your, like, the Blue Jays don't want to call him up and then be like, oh, he's having issues. We got to send him down now. Like, they want him to be ready to stay up. That's the other part I think people forget. And, yeah, I like the fact that, you know, a guy like Biggio can move to the outfield so that, you know, a guy like Bichette can play second. I think Bichette plays second as well. I think he's done both.
Yeah, he can play. Well, I mean, if you can play short, you can definitely play second.
Well, we thought Gurriel could play second when he played short, and that didn't exactly.
I don't really mind him in the outfield.
Oh, he's. Let's
talk about a reason the Jays don't need to go after outfielders at the deadline.
Oh, so
my God, Lourdes.
So, yeah, I love what. I mean, just kind of moving the conversation a little bit, but yeah. I love what Lourdes Gurriel has reinvented himself as. Look, that could have been disastrous with the way, you know, he couldn't field. Like, he could barely throw to first base from second base. He goes down. They make him an outfielder, and the stats prove that he's one of the top outfielders, at least in the AL. Like, I can't, like, there's not many times where you're going to see that. From a player. So I like that. A and B, he's cheap. Like, yeah. They have him signed for a good amount of time, don't they?
5 more years. They signed him, like, what, a 7 or an 8 year deal? Till 2023, so 4 more years.
At that, and it's like really cheap, too, because they got him because he was a defector, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, he signed for. It was 7 years, $22 million.
And he signed the same day that the Jay signed Morales.
Yep, I remember that.
Did that happen like an hour after they announced the Kendrick signing? Or before? One of the two. He was really good.
He's been such a fun player to watch, Gurriel.
I love the hair, too.
He is an aggressive swinger. He kind of reminds me of like Javier Baez, obviously not as good. But they swing at everything.
I love it though.
Yeah, I mean,
I want guys who are not timid with their swings.
I mean, I have an appreciation for both. I mean, I also really like guys like Kevin Biggio, who gets a ton of walks.
Oh yeah, that's valuable.
I mean,
so
I just
too.
I like the thing with Gurriel. If I had to have one thing that I didn't like, is it's probably. You know, he strikes out a little too much, but he's kind of cut it down. He doesn't actually. I think his strikeout numbers have been pretty decent.
So I've got that here for you. So last year in 57 games, 57 strikeouts, and how many walks were the walks? And 15 walks this season. Sorry, no, that's this season. 57 strikeouts and 15 walks in 57 games last year. 59 strikeouts. 9 walks in 65 games. So the walks have gone up, which is good. The batting average is around the same. He's hitting .288 this season. Last year was .281. He has a better.
That also included a massive slump and then possibly being the hottest hitter in baseball.
His OPS,
yeah,
though, is
scalding hot.
His OPS is ridiculous. He's at .923. Last year was .755.
Yeah, his 923 OPS is. Is unbelievable, and he's slugging like 580, I think it is. Yeah, 585, which is absurd.
Yeah, even if he was slugging at the 446 of last year, I'd be pretty pleased with that too. And his exit velocity has been pretty decent. But yeah, I like, and I just like the camaraderie between him, Biggio, and Guerrero. Like, you can tell there's the likeness, or I don't know what I wanted to call it the broness, but that's a pretty dumb term. Just the way that they're all kind of pulling for each other like this is great.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, they're kind of like competing with each other. It's cool to see, you know, especially because you kind of watch these guys play and you see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, okay, they don't have to worry about finding, you know, middle infielders and a left fielder. You know, they have guys that have some talent.
So the other thing I want to bring up is somebody brought up the idea of Lourdes potentially going to center field.
No, stop it.
I like him, but let's.
Yeah, you got to be pretty good defensively to play center field.
Well,
he's good. I just like, is this good in the corner outfield?
Yeah, I'm fine. Corner outfield is fine. You can hide guys. Let's be honest. He's not a great defender. You can hide guys in corner outfield and at first base. You can't hide guys in center and at third base. If you're bad defensively, it's very – and shortstop.
Ask Teoscar Hernandez how he's felt about playing center.
I mean, he's not as much of a disaster as he used to be. But
– not as much. Play. It's because he – actually got glasses. It turns out he was blind, and that's why he couldn't feel.
Oh boy. But no,
well,
but,
I know what it's like.
But yeah, for me, I think the most important thing for the Blue Jays right now is probably to find a center fielder and more than likely a third baseman, but you never know.
So two things I'll say about that. Grichuk has been playing center field. I haven't minded him there.
I personally, I'm just not a real fan of Grichuk. I mean, he's gonna hit 240 every year with 25 homers and 75 RBIs. He's just consistently average.
But for your outfield, if Grichuk is being an average guy, I'm not concerned. Like, I'm not gonna make that a priority. When I'm seeing how this pitching staff is, and when I see how the bullpen has been kind of pieced together at times. Actually, the bullpen hasn't been too bad considering. They got guys like Tim Mesa.
Pretty bad.
I mean, I like Tim Mesa. I like what he can bring.
I think Daniel Hudson's been incredible.
Yeah, that's been the Angels made a massive mistake there. Now the Blue Jays are going to profit off of that.
Yep.
Giles
has been unbelievable.
Giles has reinvented himself, which is good. And the Blue Jays
will again. Biagini's been pretty good, too. He's been back to his, you know, normal self.
I like, Biagini's been good. Ryan Tepera is still out, so I'm curious to see if he can get himself back, you know, into that setup role. Because
Rocky's also coming back at some point.
Yeah. But Baruchy is more of a.
I know he's a starter.
He's a starter.
He's probably a four. He's probably a fourth starter.
He's a fourth starter. I see Trent Thornton as like a third starter.
We barely have one starter right now, so I'll take a four.
You think Trent Thornton's a fifth starter, Jake?
Yes.
I mean, last night wasn't good, but I think he's been pretty.
Only thing I hear about Trent Thornton is that, like, every couple of teams, he's apparently tipping his pitches. And they're just teeing off on him.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's happened two games in a row, I think it was.
Yeah, because I remember one of the broadcasts.
He's got very good stuff, but sometimes he's very good. And he's either very good or very bad. There's really no in between. And that's pretty consistent of a fifth starter. So, especially if you want to be a good team. Hopefully he's not a third. He's not a third starter on a team that's ever making the playoffs.
So the question I have is, how do you? They're not going to make improvements right now with the rotation. Like Baruchy being the fourth guy, Trent Thornton, if with Jake's suggestion of him being a fifth, you still have a 1-2-3 hole there, and like Sanchez, we know that that's.
They need to put him in the bullpen. Like it's. I understand they're like, but there's no value in putting him in the bullpen. There's fucking no value in watching him just get lit up every fifth start, every fifth day.
Somebody brought this. I think JPR and Sebia brought this up, which is put him in the bullpen, let him go there for a little bit, but keep the option of having him go back to the rotation still. Like in the bullpen, you can at least work a couple of days and. You'll get more opportunities to work on your stuff.
Just get your confidence back as long as you're not getting teed off on.
Yeah, I think Sanchez still has the stuff. I think, I mean, the velocity...
He's got no control right now.
Yeah.
Pitching's all like half a mind game, and if you don't have confidence, and he's lost 9 straight.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is also he hasn't... Yeah, the confidence is shot. He's trying to play this off as he's, you know, pretty satisfied with how with what is. I think injury wise,
nobody's satisfied with losing 9 straight starts.
But nobody's. Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
That's the concerning part. You need to do something to get your confidence back. Like, the Blue Jays can't let this get out of hand. I think obviously you need Sanchez either in the bullpen or you need him to be something for you. Now,
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't mind him in the bullpen back where he was as a setup man because he was good.
Yeah, he was there.
I think he would be good if he was a setup man or even a closer.
Yeah.
For a little bit, because he can dial it up to, you know, 90, 98 instead of 94 or 95, and, you know, he can go back to what he should be doing is getting 2 pitches and then finding his 3rd pitch.
Yeah. So the only, I mean, the one wrinkle is his agent too, right? Because he's come out.
At some point, you'd think, if he hasn't completely tuned him out, I'd imagine he's going to drop him relatively soon.
That's the other thing, too. I mean, does it come to the point where somebody, I don't know who it was, that suggested the Blue Jays wouldn't even want to bring Sanchez back, like not tender him?
Oh, no. You don't do that over one bad season.
Yeah, that's such a waste of an asset.
I mean, he's clearly got the stuff, but
it's a waste of a guy that you've developed for what, 6 or 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's completely useless if you give up on him now and get nothing for him. You're just admitting that you don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. Like Rule 5 or something like that.
Sure. I mean, it could just be one off season. I mean, it's the first time he's pitched consistently. Like, what was it, is the year he almost won the Cy Young, that was the last time he pitched 9 straight games, even if he lost them. Like,
that's pretty...
if you told us that Aaron Sanchez would have gone 9 straight games over the last couple seasons at any stretch, I would have been pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Just the fact he's pitching is kind of a medical miracle for him.
He's played like parts of 2 seasons.
Yeah, I that was just the big thing, is that's the reason why the Blue Jays could, like, everyone trying to say, oh, they should have traded him in the offseason. It's like, that would have been even worse.
For what? For nothing?
Yeah, like, you would be giving him away at that point. So, I'm with you on that. I think you have to be patient with Sanchez. Make him find some sort of value from him, because we know he's got the stuff. And then you've got to build the rest of your rotation. Like, I don't see the Blue Jays, you know, maybe next year they try to contend for a wild card. Like, I don't see them be just turning this around very quickly. But they can slowly work their way back. So,
yeah.
I mean
the thing that's important is they gotta think that they gotta spend on pitching.
So that's
the big issue.
That was going to be my next topic, which is, the free agent class is not bad. Garrett Cole.
I know hitters wise, the best hitter is Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure past that.
I mean, you got Madison Bumgarner's going to be available. Garrett Cole. Yeah,
they're not getting him, but Zach Garrett Wheeler. Cole's a good player.
JD Martinez is a decent hitter. I think Ryu's going to go back to the Dodgers because they'll pay for him.
Yeah, he's got like a 1.7 ERA or something. It's nuts.
Marcelo Zuna could be an interesting option.
What I'm starting to wonder is if there's any, you know, big pitcher who's trying to defect out of Cuba or come over from Japan or Korea that's going to get posted, because I think that's where they got a shot at, you know, not spending money like $25 million a season for an elite starter, but maybe finding some value on a guy like that.
I like that plan better, because I don't trust the Blue Jays to go out and spend money on a starter in free agency. They could have taken a shot on Dallas Keuchel, get his value up and then trade him to a contender, but they didn't do that, because I mean, Keuchel had all the control. He's like, I'm just going to sign with one anyways. So, yeah, I like your plan better, Jake. With that being said, gentlemen, I wanted to bring this to our final topic of conversation.
Oh, no.
I know Austin has already had enough of this talk.
I'm taking a breather. You go, Jake.
Jake, William Nylander, what a scum.
Piece of garbage. Not disrespecting only... a Leaf legend.
Disrespecting a Leaf legend. But no, you know, it's not enough that he's going to pay for the jerseys to be done. He even offered to buy new shoes for a guy who has a number 29 William Nylander shoe. But no, he's still the guy that held out on his team. Not a team player, Jake.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just getting sick and tired. I mean, I'm sure they're trolling these people.
You know who started this? I'm calling them out right now. Yahoo Canada, what in the hell was that graphic you posted? Did you see that, Jake?
No, I didn't see the graphic.
Oh my, okay.
I'll send it to you. Give me a second.
So Austin's going to send it to Jake because Jake hasn't seen this.
I'm not talking.
Anybody who hasn't seen it. So Yahoo, social media wise, they're pretty decent. You know, they put a lot of time in their social media and getting some interesting things. And then they go and they do this. Let me find the... God, they post a lot.
I got it. You talk.
They posted one with a picture of Nylander and Eric Lindros in the same graphic.
Oh. I mean, it's just stupid.
It's like, what? They're like clearly trying to stir up the pot. And
oh, they did.
Like, just absolutely ridiculous. Austin just sent it to us. For some reason, I can't find it. What the hell? Oh, that's someone else's phone buzzing. Never mind. Thoughts on William Nylander number switch? And they put a friggin' picture of Eric. Why do you need to put Eric Lindros in there?
I kind of want Mitch Marner to try and convince Doug Gilmore to let him wear 93 just for shits and giggles to see what
apparently the apparently Gilmore offered it reaction. To him. Gilmore...
Just to see what the reaction would be. Because it'd be, oh, he's got Dougie's blessing. He can do it. This overpaid, greedy bastard, Nylander. No, he didn't ask Eric. Eric Lindros, who played 30 games for us. And with that, I am done.
Yeah.
You're a joke if you have... If this is the hill you're willing to die on in July... Just
it's just people who will yell about anything. I mean, yeah. he could say like they were talking about this on with Joffrey Loop on Spittin' Chicklets, where they're just like, anybody who has comments for Joffrey Loop, well, it's because he finger banged your mom or your sister at Cactus Club. I mean, it makes no sense why you'd be this angry. About your own player.
Your own player. That's the part that kills me.
Yeah.
Who's this... like all these people, I'm just like, you're not fans of this team.
No.
Like, you're not
cheer along with the rest of us.
You know what it is, Jake?
You're actively rooting against one of our own players.
You know what it is, Jake? It's people acting like snobs because they think they know what a Leaf is. They have this perfect idea of what a Toronto Maple Leaf is. And in their eyes, it's not William Nylander. And that's a selfish, snobbish way to act.
It's all these people who have watched the game fly by them. These guys have never played hockey. And they're just used to the rock'em sock'em bullshit where...
Yeah, Don Cherry feeds guy, into that
like,
so much.
Like, you just punch a guy in the face 15 times the way it is. Like, that's not hockey.
I'd love to see how many of these people that are criticizing Nylander, like, in their job... Like, how many of them would be like, no, give me less money. I'm really for the company.
Yeah. No offense. I mean, Don Cherry has been a big part of my hockey growing life. But ask Don Cherry if he would take a discount to do his job. Guarantee he wouldn't.
I mean, the idea of dead team discounts in any sport is absolutely ridiculous.
Cherry's not taking less money to keep Doug McLean at Sportsnet, which is what happened.
A lot of guys. I mean, that was also
I didn't even hear that Doug McLean got let go.
It's not, I mean, there's no official word, but that's what everyone's reporting.
Yeah, it's not in his Twitter thing anymore. It came up as something on one of the Sportsnet or something programs. I forget.
I mean, yeah. Jake, did you see how that Phillies game ended?
I did not.
So what do you want to guess the final score was?
9-8.
9-8 for the Phillies.
Who did Bryce Harper do something?
Bryce Harper hit a walk-off double.
Okay, I mean, he's got the talent. I mean, he can obviously hit bombs, but the guy's still hitting 250. That might be a season saver for the Phillies.
Yeah, and maybe brings up Ken Giles to the Dodgers, maybe? Hey, Dodgers, man, that, closer.
I think the Dodgers, if they don't improve their bullpen, they are not winning again.
I mean, I love what Cody Bellinger's doing this season, but...
He is unbelievable. They have a lot of really good players, but they also, at points in their lineup, they have just dead spaces in their lineup. Dead space in their lineup and really, really bad relief pitching.
Yeah, a lot of teams need it, and a team like the Blue Jays have it to offer, so let's do it. Also, the Blue Jays have scored 10-plus runs for the 9th time this season, matching their total for all of 2018.
Yeah, I've been watching the last half inning. It's been fun. I mean, all the guys have been involved. You know, you had Vladdy got an RBI single. Sogard got a double. Billy McKinney got a triple.
He almost hit for a cycle in that inning.
Yeah, yeah. We what I really wanted to see was Gurriel hit a home run so he could get the cycle, but it is what it is. They're fun. They're starting to hit now, and that's what you want to see out of the young guys. Danny Jansen's been heating up. He got a single, so all the guys have been working. And also Grichuk, just despite me, got an RBI double.
He heard you.
Jake,
yeah, he did.
So, Jake, you just have to speak this stuff into existence, and I'll help.
I'm going to have to.
It's like I got Tyler Bozak that $5 million contract with all the slander.
Yeah. So, with that being said, Jake, is there anything you... I mean, we got our chance to vent about the Will and Nylander stuff. This is where we got our opportunity to do it. Is there anything else you would like to vent about?
Yeah, for me, it is like this Mitch Marner charade, this bullshit that's fucking going on with this prick. I mean, I love how everyone's just like, oh, well, it's just his agent. Well, who's paying the agent? Him. So if he wants to come out or have no take on it, he can post his little stupid fucking wakeboarding video. Meanwhile, you got people saying that he wants $11 million.
He wants Austin Matthews money.
He wants that, but he doesn't want it on a long-term deal. So what concessions has he made exactly, or in his opinion? He hasn't signed offer sheets because they're like, listen, we're all willing to pay you $12 million, but we're sure as shit not doing it on a five-year deal. Oh, well, that's not good enough. Well, so, well, like, I'd be fine giving him $10 million, but it's 8 years, no less. That's fine with me. So you're saying, no, I want to get walked to free agency, and I still want to get paid that. No. That's not how this works, you little bastard, and your stupid fucking agent who has done all this bullshit with these shitty players. Oh, he's going to play in Switzerland. He's going to play in Russia. At this point,
Jake,
I'm just like, fuck off.
Jake, if you had to pick one team in Europe that you would threaten to send Mitch Marner to, where would it be?
If I'm the Leafs?
The Swiss.
No, if you're Darren Ferris, which team would you threaten to send him to?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. Maybe one of the big Russian teams, one of the only good teams. But
I just can't see Mitch Marner surviving in Russia.
None of them are. I mean, have you ever heard on it? Joffrey Lupul said on Spittin' Chicklets he got food poisoning. And he was there for 9 games.
He left. He just left. I love what Ryan Whitney said. He's like, did you leave your equipment there like I did? He's like, no, I could get my equipment from the arena. It's like, I don't, like, he has, well, the only leverage he has, and we know the only leverage he has, is withholding his services. That's all he saw. You know what's funny? He saw what William Nylander did, and yeah, sure, did a screw up Nylander season. Yes, but guess what? Nylander got what he wanted in the end. I think that's the part that's sticking out in Marner's mind.
Nylander's also paying it back by trying to, like, he's not dumb.
What a great PR. I mean, we brought up the whole the PR campaign
he's
that
he's literally paying it back to Leaf fans.
Yeah, he's giving Leaf fans a lot of reason to not hate him right now.
I mean, the thing is, you look at those two contracts, obviously both of them are probably not the best ones. That you're not giving an A to any of them. They're more like a C or a D for both of those contracts. But what team currently has signed a good contract where you're like, wow, what a hell of a deal?
A long-term deal. I'm not talking, and this is not one-year deal.
Boy, Brandon like, Tanev sure looks good at 6 years.
Like that, like they were talking about this, and probably the only thing I agree with on Dave Poulin was he was basically talking like he was talking about the Sebastian Aho contract and how those idiots in Carolina were joking like, "Hey, it saved us all summer negotiating contracts," and then Carlo and Michael Landsberg brought up a question. Which was, would you rather Marner sign an offer sheet just to get it over with or not? And, I mean, at this point, I think a lot of people, I believe it was like 75% of people said yeah just so they'd end it. And Dave Poulin brought up a good point. I mean, that means you're letting someone else dictate what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, like with Carolina, they didn't want – like, they can say that all they want. You think they want to pay $22 million in the first year up front? You think they wanted to walk him to free agency? You think they wanted to set a new bar on their entire salary cap structure?
Nope.
They didn't want that.
Nope. They're trying to play this off as Montreal did us a favor, and no, they didn't.
No, they seriously didn't.
What Montreal did is they just said, well, we're going to start this. We're going to try to start shit with your team. Carolina tried to play it off as nothing, but, I mean, the owner didn't exactly see it that way.
I think with what Montreal did, the only thing I can give them credit for is that they didn't go way overboard with the contract. They maintained a salary structure, which has kind of been a thing that's starting to crumble, especially around the league. And likely will all across the league. I mean, look at the highest paid players. Boston, that's fucking gone. You think Charlie McAvoy is going to do that? No way. I mean, that's what has me somewhat optimistic that they'll get a deal done, is that the only RFA that has agreed to one of these contracts signed an offer sheet, so it had to be resolved in 7 days. Like, none of these other guys are going anywhere. It's just there's so much noise here because there's so many fans and so many coverage and so much coverage. But
that's the part I think everyone doesn't understand.
Like, it's enough where you can be annoyed at the entire league, but it's like that across all sports now. All these guys are starting to realize, like, wait a second, we're the ones that are getting the short end of the stick here. We're the ones that are getting phased out before we're getting paid. That's like it's the issue in baseball. Baseball, they're all these service time bullshit, and then these guys aren't getting paid. You got all-stars who didn't get contracts until after the draft. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Then you got, you know, basketball. Obviously, all these players are taking a stand and trying to take back the power. The NFL with running backs where they're just getting run into the ground and pushed away like they're, you know, old dogs or something like that. Like, it's reached a point where it's changing across all sports, but it's kind of frustrating to see because it's something we've never seen before.
I got a question for you guys. I'm on Cap Friendly right now. I think there's a glitch in their system because I'm looking at the RFAs. I just wanted to see who's available and who's not. Who the hell is Jimmy Schultz?
Jimmy Schultz?
He apparently plays for Vegas.
Yeah.
Apparently he has a cap hit of $6.5 million.
That's wrong.
That's so wrong. Played one game, has one assist. I don't think he has a $6 million cap hit. So if anyone from Cap Friendly is listening to this podcast...
Oh, Jimmy Hayes, you're off the hook.
You might want to look at your Cap Friendly site right now. I look at... Okay, I'm going to look Kevin at... Hayes, I'm going to look at these RFA guys.
Wait, Tommy Shue?
No, Jimmy. No, it's not... This must be a made-up player. I haven't looked at... Let's see if he's actually real. Let me just see. Confirm my suspicions that somebody might have hacked Cap Friendly. Let's see. Oh, no. He's an actual player. NCHC champion. He played for the St. Cloud State University. So he was the captain. But apparently they gave him a $6.5 million cap. He was a Vegas... He was the guy that Vegas had signed... I guess one of the college free agents they signed. They really fucked that one up. But look, I'm going to look at the RFA list. Nobody's talking about these players like they are with Mitch. Jacob Trouba, not signed. He filed for arbitration, too. Joel Edmondson, you know, a guy that contributed to St. Louis. Zach Werenski. Haven't heard a word of that one.
Zach Werenski is a free agent.
He's an RFA.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Because he's the same year as Mitch.
Yeah, he is. It's true.
Kyle Connor?
Yep.
Nothing?
That's someone who I think I would take a stab at if I'm another team. I think he can be had.
Yep. I think you give him $6 million. I think Winnipeg would be hard to match that.
A little more than that. I actually like him, so I'd want... I think I'd be comfortable giving up a 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so doing like a $7 million deal?
Yeah. I would do that. 7 times 7. I think he's a guy that could score 35 goals.
Yeah, well, he scored 34 last year, so he's a good, good player. Patrick Laine. No one talking about Patrick Laine.
Nope. Nobody. Braden Point. Tampa has like $3 million in cap space.
Yeah. They'll figure that out. Trust me. Matthew Tkachuk. Nothing.
Braden Point signing for a 2-9 coupon at McDonald's.
Brock Besser. Nothing. Let me go down. Nikita Gusev. We know what that situation's like. Charlie McAvoy.
Yeah, and Brandon Carlo.
People are saying a bridge deal.
You look at it. Every single team is fucked.
Ivan Provorov. Every single team. Mikko Rantanen. Travis Konecny.
Okay, all right. I'm wrong with that. There are like 5 teams that aren't fucked. Colorado are not.
Nope.
Great shape. New Jersey Devils are in great shape.
Philly, Ottawa's a pretty, somewhat.
I mean, salary cap, Ottawa's in fine shape. That's about it.
Yeah, if you look at the salary cap structure right now, Jake is right. New Jersey has $18 million. Colorado has $19 million. Ottawa has $20 million. Winnipeg has $22 million.
I think Colorado, New Jersey, if I'm them, I am offer sheeting Kyle Connor.
So Winnipeg has 15 players signed? How is that right?
They have literally nobody signed.
They have 7 forwards.
They got a sign. 6 defensemen. Line A Cup, Connor, the kid they just got
Neil
from
Pionk.
Neil Pionk.
Andrew Cobb, Line A, Kyle Connor. They only have 7 forwards locked up. That would even make it 10. Ooh.
Then next year they got to sign Roslovich, Morrissey, and that's about it.
Yeah, Roslovich, Morrissey, Sammy Niku, who not many people know. There's so many teams are in trouble. The Leafs aren't the only ones. The only thing is the Leafs just get magnified like no one else.
I mean, as they should, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way that this
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
So, at one point, does this get... I'm with the way things are going, I'm not seeing this being resolved until, like, training camp, if that.
I don't see any way it is.
Like, it's not like... look, I shared a picture... Was it with you guys yesterday? Or did I just show you the picture yesterday, Austin? Like, Marner is living it up in Vegas with Connor Brown right now and Carrick, Connor Carrick. They're just hanging out.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
he's not. He's not worried about it.
The thing with all this contracts is, the thing I hate the most is it's like turning you against players on your own team.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so annoying. Cause like I love Mitch Marner. My dad has his jersey. He's probably one of my favorite players to watch play hockey, but just this whole stupid thing about salary. It's all the issue of the salary cap. There was a thing like the luxury tax. We wouldn't be having a conversation about it. Pay him whatever the fuck you want.
Yep.
It's because of this dumb, archaic salary cap where the NHL, I think, is just so, so behind every team in that they don't give a shit about their big markets, and they should.
So a couple things there. One, salary cap is stupid. Two,
the hard salary cap is stupid. No problem with a soft one.
I am not happy with... Look, if Mitch was not signed right now, I would have less of a problem with it if all these stupid speculative nonsense coming from, oh, he wants this, or he does not feel respected, or this. If that stuff wasn't getting out, you know what? Mitch is not signed right now. They're in no rush. That's fine. But when this stuff comes out, it makes your blood boil, because it's just like,
what? Like, I also would be so uncomfortable with it. Like, these guys are just, they just look so bad.
Yeah. At what point does Mitch Marner think, yeah, what we're doing is sound strategy, let's just keep doing it? Like, what part of his brain makes him actually think that's right? I don't see it.
I mean, clearly his agent's been telling him something, but
it's frustrating. It's getting to the point where every report that's not a legitimate report is really getting annoying. Like, oh, Columbus was thinking about offer sheeting him, but like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's the thing where, like, I just refuse to believe any of it, because I don't know what's true. Like, you had that asshole who said, "Yeah, it should be an offer sheet coming today."
Oh, George. Sorry, no, not Joey Vendetta.
Yeah, the clown.
Well, and Pagnotta put that out too. Like, no, teams are gonna throw that to try to scare the Leafs. The agent's trying to do that to scare the Leafs.
It's not. It's not. Like, I don't think one iota, or like his, I don't think Kyle Dubas's frame of mind has changed one iota since this. Like, if I were him, I would just look at them. I would basically very quietly say, "You ain't got no fucking leverage. You don't want to go anywhere. Do you really want to be public enemy number one? Forcing your way out of here. This is your home." Like,
yeah,
you got to realize that when you look at all the shit that's happened, especially with this negotiation. He doesn't want 8 years. He wants to get paid a ton of money, but he wants it on low deals. And then he's been offered offer sheets, and he doesn't want to sign them because he's afraid the Leafs won't match. And he doesn't want to sign them because he wants his low term, but no team's going to give up four firsts for a deal that's not 7 years.
Yeah. Like, if that's probably what Columbus probably wanted to do long term. And the negotiation the agents probably said, no, we only want 5 years, if that. He probably
wouldn't. No, thanks.
No. Like, the offer sheet. People are like, oh, you can sign an offer sheet. Yeah, but the other team has to actually like the offer they're handing out.
And the player has to sign it, too.
Yeah, like, it's getting ridiculous. And that one article, Austin, you know which article I'm bringing up. The one from that guy from the Hockey Writers, which, ugh. What a terrible take. Yeah. Did you see that one, Jake? And you probably just saw the quote tweets about it. About
no.
Mitch Marner being... like, they brought up the Wayne Gretzky comparisons again, and how Mitch is better than Austin Matthews and more valuable than Austin Matthews.
Oh, no.
Let me bring...
The thing that I find really funny, actually, is the people who argue that are not fans of the Leafs.
Okay, so...
They're all like, what? He deserves to be paid. It's just like, Yeah, you're just saying this because you're trying.
Nylander doesn't.
You're trying to cripple our like cap, but good thing our GM isn't a moron who's in his 70s and will use like fifth overall picks to take 6'6" defenseman that can't shoot.
Too bad Mitch Marner can't get his money because greedy William Nylander's making $10 million. Oh, wait, he's not, you morons.
That was a good one.
I've lost my patience with Leaf fans.
Oh, here we go. Playmakers are worth more than goal scorers, and Marner is a Gretzky slash Lemieux.
Stop.
While Matthews is just
stop.
A trigger
stop.
Man.
Stop.
An exact stop. Quote stop. From that article. I'm not stopping. This is comedy.
It's pretty sad.
The title of the damn article: Why Mitch Marner is more valuable than Austin Matthews.
Playmakers are more valuable than goal scorers. Isn't the aim of the game to score more goals than the other goddamn team?
I mean, anybody that says that is just a moron.
And what I actually mean is that the Marner player archetype, which I don't fucking understand what you're trying to say there, is generally more valuable than the Matthews player archetype. Again, I don't know what the fuck you're trying to say there. As in, a highly creative playmaker is usually more valuable than a pure shooter slash goal scorer.
No. What? Especially in this game.
Guess what?
Nowadays, where so few guys are like elite shooters.
Did I miss the era where Crosby, McDavid, Gretzky, and Lemieux, all players that apparently are genius playmakers? I'm pretty sure these guys are also known as goal scorers. Crosby, 50 goal scorer. Fucking Wayne Gretzky set the single season goal record. Mario Lemieux, I think, was arguably one of the best forwards of all time.
Did I miss this year's postseason where Austin Matthews single-handedly carried the Leafs offense by distributing and scoring goals?
Yeah, I mean, literally scoring goals is the only reason why you play.
Yeah. Sister Nice.
Yeah, when you're trying to, I guess when you make Zach Hyman look good, that's more valuable than scoring 40 goals in a season. I just love the people who are anti-Matthews and Nylander, but then Mitch gets a free pass, and then now it's like, oh, maybe we were too hard on the other two guys, and maybe it's not just a singular issue with them.
I wish Mitch did like an Ancestry.com and he was like 40% finish and just see how it just turns.
So I'm going to bring up the playoff numbers because I totally forgot. Austin Matthews had 5 goals in 7 games.
Yeah, he was probably the biggest reason why I won 7 games.
Do you know who was second on the Leafs and maybe a reason why the Leafs didn't win that Bruins series? Do you know who was second on the team in scoring?
Second on the team in scoring. Was it Morgan Riley?
No. Okay, sorry, I mean goal. Let's do goals first because Riley was second in points.
Tavares had 2.
Tavares had 2. Marner had 2.
One was an empty netter. Marner had 1.
2, actually.
Two.
It was Marner and Tavares who had 2.
Yeah, I mean.
And both had worse plus minuses, by the way, for all those old people who bring up plus minuses as a stat.
I thought Marner specifically after game 1 was pretty invisible.
Yeah.
Because I mean the thing with him is, I think the biggest difference is, especially on the power play, you kind of just have to take away his passing lanes because he's not beating you with a straight shot.
So I also want to bring up 2 other points here. I know it may be the PK played a part in this. Mitch Marner played more than Austin Matthews in the playoffs.
They also matched up against the Bergeron line.
Guess what? Matthews played more than Tavares.
Really?
Yeah, he played 7 seconds
more.
It's
a shocking revelation. Mike Babcock actually played his best offensive player more than the other players.
A couple other things I want to bring up here, which
is... Can you tell I'm physically done with the Maple Leafs this summer? Like, shut the hell up until September. I don't care.
Sounds like you care pretty much.
No, I don't.
He doesn't care. No, Jake. He doesn't care for the stupidity. Which,
yeah, no,
it's the second year in a row that we've had to deal with this. It's just more.
I have to go online every single day and read that Mitch Marner wants 11.6, not 11.4. It's like,
I mean, I think it goes for 3 months. It goes for all sports. I mean, I'm getting sick and tired of a lot of sports. Like the thing in the off season in hockey, off season in fucking basketball. Like I swear that every fucking day they're saying, Who's better, Lakers or Clippers? Like, how about we fucking wait until October?
It's tiring.
I mean, they just have nothing to go through. That's why I'm just dying for at least training camp to start. I'd rather talk about football.
Yeah.
If we're talking about hockey, just talk prospects or something. Like, I'm just...
Or just go away. Like, that was the best part about hockey is where you can... You could just go away for a little bit.
I think CJ had the best response, which is when he saw the Nylander stuff, he's just like, I'm going to go back to beers at the cottage.
I immediately turned off my phone. I got out of Twitter. I'm not doing this today. I had a tweet. I showed you the tweet I had sent up, and I was like, people just have common sense to not be this stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to get any better, so let's just leave it at that. I think we let off some steam. It's healthy to let off steam once in a while, but to do it over Twitter is probably not the best way because, really, you don't accomplish anything.
Who cares? The Leafs are going to lose opening night because Magnus Pajari is going to have a 12-goal game because he's the only guy that can score against the Leafs on Ottawa.
Magnus Pajari?
Yeah, Lee Killer. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot about him.
Yeah, so did the rest of the NHL.
Well, with that being said, I think this is a good time to end the podcast. Is everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. So, yeah. Austin, just don't go to bed angry. Find some. Just go and look up some happy videos. Just look up. Go hang out with Bronco for a little bit.
As long as something it doesn't include the Leafs, I'll be completely fine and I'll fall asleep peacefully.
So, with that being said, let's just hope Austin and everyone get some sleep tonight. Enjoy. We'll probably be back next week with maybe the Blue Jays. We'll have more to talk about. We'll see. Until then, we will catch you guys next time. Thank you for listening again. Subscribe to us on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. We appreciate any and all listens. And we will catch you guys next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.